Lehigh Valley Public Radio is proud to present HealthBeat, a spotlight on healthcare in the Lehigh Valley, produced in conjunction with the Dorothy Ryder Poole Healthcare Trust and the Ryder Poole Foundation.
Good evening. I'm Greg Caponia, and with me is our co-host, Edward Meehan. HealthBeat is a program that's going to be taking a deeper look at healthcare in the Lehigh Valley. We also welcome Ronald Dendist, the program officer of the Dorothy Ryder Poole Healthcare Trust and the Ryder Poole Foundation. Gentlemen, it's nearly impossible to discuss Lehigh Valley healthcare without mentioning the Ryder Poole name. Today, we will touch on various topics, and we promise you a deeper dive into these subjects on our upcoming programs. However, on this, our first program in the series, I would like to do a recap of the history of the namesakes. So, gentlemen, tell us about Dorothy and Leonard. Who were they, and why are they so important to us? Ed?
Well, Greg, it's great to be with you, and I'm delighted to talk about the legacy of Leonard Parker Poole and Dorothy Ryder Poole. They had a deep love of the Lehigh Valley, and they were terrific citizens of the Lehigh Valley during their lives, very active in civic affairs. And obviously, their legacy lives on well past their time in the Lehigh Valley. Leonard Poole was the founder of Air Products and Chemicals, his probably greatest gift to the Lehigh Valley. He was also instrumental in the establishment of the Lehigh Valley Health Network. In fact, he pretty much almost single-handedly got that done way back when. And he also established the Dorothy Ryder Poole Healthcare Trust in Dorothy's name. Born in Minneapolis to a large family, the fourth of seven kids, his father became ill when he was very young. Leonard had to quit school to go to work to take care of the family. These were hard times. He kept the family together. And I think it taught him in a lot of ways and reinforced for him in a lot of ways the importance of family, the importance of community, and the importance of education and health. So Leonard is quite an extraordinary character. I will read from the history that we got from many of his colleagues during his life and just something that we had done about 20 or so years ago, describing Leonard as, quote, decisive, entrepreneurial, mercurial, farsighted, articulate, bombastic, a hard taskmaster, a builder, a born statesman, strong-willed, impulsive, visionary, dynamic, thoughtful, demanding, and driven. He was an obvious leader, and he would be willing to assume both responsibility as well as risk. His partner in life, his wife, as was described, they were a team, as Dorothy Ryder Poole, and she was characterized as a stabilizing force in Leonard's life. She was an accomplished pianist, a painter. She was politically savvy, and she was extremely intelligent. I happen to know that Dorothy went to the University of Michigan, and she taught in the Detroit school systems before they moved to the Lehigh Valley. Very engaged and interested in the arts and in music. And Dorothy passed away in 1967. Leonard was very concerned with her health and her growing illness, and was able to get her to hospitals in New York and Philadelphia, and his interest in education, his interest in health, and his concern for his wife drove him to think about what does the average person in Lehigh Valley do for health. And so upon his passing, he established the Dorothy Ryder Poole Healthcare Trust, the mission to enable Lehigh Valley Health Network to be a superior regional hospital and improve the health of the citizens of the region. So, Greg, two extraordinary people who have left a lasting legacy.
Do you think Mrs. Poole's health was one of the major factors in driving this entrepreneurial spirit into the health field, if you will? There are many entrepreneurs who will contribute but don't get as active as he did.
Yeah, I just think about the characterization of him from his colleagues and his coworkers and friends, you know, dynamic, visionary, impulsive, assuming responsibility. I think Dorothy's illness really was getting him to think critically about the health of the Lehigh Valley. Two other things I'd mention. One is I met his younger brother, who was a physician, who said that really Leonard always wanted to be a physician, but he had to leave school and short-circuit his education to keep the family together. he probably would have made an excellent physician, but he had to become a Fortune 500 CEO instead. So, you know, that's just the turn of life. The other thing for folks who are familiar with the history of the Lehigh Valley was concurrent with Dorothy's illness and decline, both Sacred Heart Hospital and the Allentown General Hospital back in the day were both going to engage in capital campaigns. And both were looking to Leonard as being the chair of their campaigns. And Leonard, again, the visionary and kind of broad gauge individual, was saying, why are we having dueling capital campaigns for two hospitals when we can think about building the modern hospital of the future? So I would say Dorothy's illness was a driving factor, but also his interest in education and health, as well as the circumstances of the time, where the two hospitals in Allentown were looking to refurbish and update. And I think that led to him wanting to build the modern hospital of the future.
We met each other discussing the county health rankings. And the foundation and the trust are very involved in the county health rankings and the evaluation and what it means to our community. Explain the county health rankings and how are we doing here in the Lehigh Valley? Ron?
The county health rankings are the best measurement we have right now across the nation of measuring health of a region. And it looks at multiple factors, and it weighs those factors in a way that gives us a true impression of the health of a region. For the overall health outcomes, they look at two critical factors: the length of life, how long we live, and the quality of life, what our physical and mental well-being are. And they do this for every county across the United States, which allow us to not only look at key factors of health in our region, but allow us to compare ourselves to other regions and learn how we can get better at improving health.
Ron, where do you think we could use a little improvement?
It's a fascinating story, because when you look at our overall health in the Lehigh Valley, we are above average. Mm-hmm. Our health outcomes are rather good, especially when you're looking at length of life. Average length of life in the Lehigh Valley is about 1.2 years above Pennsylvania average and above national average. So we're doing pretty darn good with length of life in the Lehigh Valley. When you look at quality of life, you see a pretty significant drop. Where we're in the top 10% in length of life, we're more in the lower top half of quality of life. We have a lot of illness in the Lehigh Valley, but we have great health care that help us work through the illness.
A lot of these are health factors, and the last time we talked about two factors, health outcomes and health factors. Could you explain the difference between those two?
Yeah, so health outcomes, we're looking at the overall health of the region. If you wanted to do a deeper dive into that, you'd say, okay, so what are the things that influence good and bad health? And how do we do in the Lehigh Valley on those health factors? So we're going to look at four key health factors in the Lehigh Valley. One is going to be access to health care. Are folks insured? Do we have access to care? And is that care high quality? And what we know about this factor is, boy, we really knock it out of the park. We've got great access to care. The rate of the uninsured in the Lehigh Valley is relatively low, and the quality of care is spectacular. So when you look at length of life, there's a key factor of why we live longer, because we have great health care.
When do we start looking? At what age do we start looking at people and thinking about health factors?
We look at low birth weight, infant mortality, right up to end of life. Cradle to grave, yes.
And would you say that we have good prenatal care? Could we improve? How do we get to people earlier?
So let's talk about those other three factors. Is there good prenatal care in Lehigh Valley? Absolutely. Are there factors that are contributing to poor infant health that a pediatrician can't address? Yes. So if you start looking at those other three key health factors, one of them being individual behavior, how we choose to eat, exercise, drink, etc. The third one being social and economic factors, our educational attainment, employment, income, family and social support. And the fourth is physical environment, the quality of air and water, our housing, and our transportation abilities. You look at those four factors, those are the things that influence health.
So a lot of people, I think, forget about things like smoking or maybe, you know, having a few too many drinks, especially when as a part of prenatal care. These are factors, right?
Yes.
And if a person does this, this has a long-lasting effect on the outcomes and the length of life.
Yes.
So we're now looking at education. And how do you think we do in the Lehigh Valley educating expectant mothers or families as they approach building a family? Ron?
I think we do just fine in making information available to people. What we need to realize is when it comes to changing behaviors, education is a component of it, but there are other factors that influence how we behave. Oftentimes, there are situations where we have choices. Do we want to eat the healthy option? Do we want to have the unhealthier but maybe tastier, in our opinion, option? Not everybody in the Lehigh Valley has those options. So, you know, when we look at individual behaviors, people can choose to behave a particular way. In many instances, people need to make better choices. But in many instances, people don't have the choice of where they live, of their economic status, their educational attainment. If you want to unpack graduation rates in the Lehigh Valley, when you look at suburban school districts, they have a far higher graduation rate than urban school districts do.
Very interesting. Gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back here on Health Beat on WDIY.
Hi, I'm John Dodds, a jazz presenter on WDIY. Like you, I'm sure, I've been lifted by the rich mix of music that WDIY has continued to air throughout the pandemic. Even in our most challenging months, the music played on. Music that has offered a sense of continuity and familiarity in a world filled with uncertainty. That is thanks to the real voices you enjoy on our station, who choose the music you love to hear day and night on WDIY. It is the knowledge and commitment of every programmer that has continued to ensure our musical diversity. If you share my admiration for their work, please click the donation button on our website, wdiy.org. At WDIY 88.1, we are proud to be the trusted choice of our community at this time of challenge and renewal. Thank you for being a loyal listener.
Connect to WDIY with our new app. Download for free from the Apple or Google Store and enjoy the great music, news, and public affairs programs you love on the go. The easy-to-use app is where you can listen to WDIY live or on demand with our two-week archive feature, your favorite music shows, anytime. Download and share the WDIY app with your friends and family and introduce them to many choices, real voices.
Welcome back to Health Beat. I'm Greg Caponia with your co-host, Edward Meehan. And we also have Ronald Dendis from the Ryder Pool Healthcare Trust and the Ryder Pool Foundation. Gentlemen, let's dig into the county rankings a little bit more. We have 800,000 people, and we have Northampton County, and we have Lehigh County, but they're really different, aren't they? Ed?
Yes, Greg. I think as wonderful as having county health rankings are, and they're very, very helpful because you can compare counties across the state, you can compare counties across the United States and see how you're doing relative to all these factors. But part of the circumstance is that you have to realize that within any county or within the Lehigh Valley, it's not completely homogenous. There are real differences in neighborhoods. There are real differences, you know, across the valley. So a county health ranking gives you a number that just is in the aggregate. It's good. It helps us understand that our healthcare service delivery is really very good. The factors that enable health need work. But then when you drill down, say, by a neighborhood, by a census tract, by a zip code, by a municipality, you'll find real differences. You know, that's something that requires more attention, because if you were going to try to address the factors that influence health, you might not think about doing work across the entire population of 800,000 people. You might want to say, where are we experiencing women who are not getting early prenatal care or a sufficient amount of prenatal care? Are there particular segments of the population? Are there particular groups of individuals who are not getting that kind of level? But we know that about one out of every five people smoke. Is that uniform across the Lehigh Valley, or are there certain attributes or characteristics of certain folks in our community who are more likely to smoke? So how do you disaggregate that countywide data so that it can be actionable? How do you start to move on that a little bit? So the county health ranking is very, very helpful, but then what really is needed is statisticians will call a more granular look. How can we do a deeper dive?
How do you do that? So you're involved in this. How do you dig into this and spread your message?
Well, I think we need more granular data, and I think that can be done. But the related piece to that is it's not just health data, because if you're looking at some of the things that would determine health, it takes us down several different kinds of pathways. If we're looking at, say, education attainment, as you said, education is an important determinant of health. We might be looking at not health data, but education data, high school graduation rates, a number of children who are receiving quality early childhood education, things of that sort. So there's the drill down on granular by smaller segments of the community. There is also the ability or the need to think about analysis of data across sectors, health as it is impacted by education attainment, health as it is impacted by safe and healthy housing. So I think part of that is a lot of what we're doing with Lehigh Valley Health Network right now, to think about the health analytics capacity. How do you think about the analytic? LVHN has very sophisticated health analytics for clinical care, for hospital care. Can we take that know-how and take that ability and transport it or transpose it to be thinking about the impacts of safe and healthy housing or high school graduation rates on health? And then a further drill down by more specificity than just at countywide.
Do we have any broad benchmarks, Ed, that would say if a person graduates high school, they are more likely to live longer or have certain characteristics from a health standpoint?
There are, yes. And I cannot cite them off the top of my head. But just broad stroke, you know, without getting into actual percentages, the likelihood of being a cigarette smoker is substantially higher if you're not a high school graduate than if you are, on the other hand, a college graduate. So the likelihood of being a cigarette smoker, at least the last time I looked at it, is much higher for a Latino male in a low-paying job with less than a high school education as compared to perhaps a white female with a higher income job with a college education. So, you know, and that's just how do you drill down and where do you say, okay, if we're going to approach tobacco use, where do we begin to engage and where to begin to think about how to have those conversations with folks in those communities about what their expressed needs are with regard to health? Is tobacco one of them? How do we think about having a respectful conversation and say, you know, it's tough. You pay a lot of money for a pack of cigarettes, and that's expensive, and it's got some long-term consequences.
So if you go back the other way and look at preschool, for example, pre-K, are there any indicators that start prior to kindergarten?
Greg, I just don't have it off the top of my head, but I think, you know, there's definite documented literature that demonstrates these sorts of things, but I think quality early childhood education is got very high correlation with success upon entering K through 12. And there's a lot of indications that students enter school prepared and ready to learn, and then as a result have a good preparation and start on elementary school, which is huge. We know there's a correlation between quality early childhood education and being on level in fourth grade, which, again, is the kind of the next marker of education attainment. So I can't cite you, is there a health impact? But if those things are going right, there are a lot of other things going right, and I would say that health is one of them.
Yeah, and one of the areas where we can cite is around adverse childhood experiences. Between birth and five, if you have moved on a regular basis, you haven't had stable, safe, healthy housing, if you've experienced some level of trauma, whether that's hunger, whether that's physical or mental abuse, your chances of heart disease, diabetes, cancer are exponentially greater than children who don't face those same adverse conditions.
So, Ron, what I'm hearing is awareness is really the beginning of healthcare.
Awareness, yes. Awareness on all of our parts. Because if we want to get at, if we want to look at this from a health issue, what do I need to do to keep me and my family as healthy as possible? You can look at this as an economic issue. How do we continue the vibrancy of the Lehigh Valley? Well, we're all in this. If one out of five of the people who live in the Lehigh Valley, which is about 160,000 people, one out of five people are in poor health. They have frequent physical and mental duress. One out of five people are experiencing serious housing problems. One out of five people live in poverty.
No matter how you look at it, it always comes back to we do have a responsibility as a community to help others. Because economically, it just makes sense. I mean, not only because we want to do the right thing, but economically, unhealthy people cost more money to take care of an unhealthy person, which affects everything.
It is in our collective, enlightened, best interest to think about the health of the entire population of the Lehigh Valley. A couple of things that I would say. One is, it's very difficult to think about improving the health of the Lehigh Valley, which was the initial question that you asked us, without thinking about the segments of the population that have the least health. And so if you're going to move the mean on the entire Lehigh Valley, you really have to think about where are the disparate pockets and sectors of the community that don't have quality health. And the second piece I'd say to that, and this is a little tricky to say, is back in my history of this work that I've been doing for quite some time, you know, there's a little bit of victim blaming that goes on sometimes that says, you know, a virtue question, if someone's smoking, why don't they just quit smoking? Why don't they do what I do? Why do they do things that are, you know, poor things for their health? And we kind of use education as, which should be a helpful tool, sometimes as a hammer,
yeah.
Instead of thinking more critically about, you know, there are a lot of things going on in people's lives. Information is helpful, but everybody knows smoking is bad for you. I mean, the folks who smoke know smoking is bad for you. And we know most people, it takes them, you know, maybe 10 or so times trying to quit smoking before they really do. So what are the other factors that are going on in someone's life where they reach for a cigarette because of all of the other dynamics that are going on in their lives? What about the smoking behavior in their family, in their neighborhood? Is it just sort of the normative thing to do? Is it a release for them in terms of just something to look forward to? You know, I don't have much of a future orientation, but I sure can reach for a cigarette on my break. I think there's a couple of things going on there. One is we need to think about awareness and education, but not from a standpoint of folks are dumb or ignorant or don't know what's good for them, because sometimes they do, but their life circumstances don't enable them to have the same access and ability that most of us do.
And when you're talking about behavior changes, then we jump into psychology and perhaps mental health.
Sure, sure. And also just kind of what's going on in someone's life. Where do they live? What are their life circumstances? What are their family dynamics? I mean, folks have a lot going on in their lives.
They do, especially now.
Yeah, especially now. And so as a result, sometimes health, your own personal health takes a back seat because you've got so many things going on and trying to earn a living, take care of your family, make sure your kids are okay. You know, any number of things that are stressors on individuals' lives.
COVID-19 has exposed us to some fragile areas in our healthcare system. For example, we're now learning that people with a greater body mass might be more predisposed to passing away as a result of having this disease. So that really speaks to some of the issues that you're trying to make, which gets us back to the educational aspect of are people smarter or some people smarter than others? But really, it just comes back down to education of various communities. And this is something we can all do, I think.
Well, COVID, first of all, as terrible as it has been, and as good as the Lehigh Valley response has been, a real shout out to the hospitals and physicians and nurses and first responders
sure.
in Lehigh Valley who did such a fantastic job, amazing job, and continue to do so. As good as that was, as you said, it kind of rips the curtain. COVID has sort of ripped the curtain off of underlying conditions that existed pre-COVID that made it that much more difficult and that much more risky for a number of people in the Lehigh Valley. By neighborhood, by ethnicity, by employment, many of us are fortunate enough to be able to work from home. There's lots of folks who don't have that opportunity, that had to nonetheless get up and get out there. There are any number of things that we were doing with Rider Pool Foundation, and Ron can go in more detail about it, but, you know, talking with our trusted partners and not-for-profit organizations to say, you know, what do people need right now? More masks, more gloves, more antibacterial, diapers, access to food, you know, just any number of things. I would say, Greg, education, but I would say engagement. How do we have respectful conversations with community leaders, and how do we have respectful conversations at the neighborhood level that say, what's going on in your world? We have data that indicate to us that there might be some health problems here, but rather than us impose our thoughts about what you should do at a neighborhood level, let's talk a little bit about what's going on here, and we see that maybe high school graduation rates aren't what they should be. What do you think should be done to improve high school graduation rates? What could we do to do more to make sure that children have quality early childhood education? What can we do to make sure that kids have summer internships and are workforce ready to think about employment going forward? These might sound like odd things to talk about for somebody who's interested in health and health care, but those kind of determinants are going to, again, have a ripple effect in terms of strengthening capacity at an individual level, at a family level, and at a neighborhood level.
Ron, how does a listener help?
I'd like to answer that by piggybacking on some of the things that Ed said. It's not like we have the answers and we can just say, okay, people, if you only do this, everything will be okay. It really takes true engagement. It takes listening and sharing. Everybody has a little different piece of the solution. And the best way of getting at it is that everybody gets together and figures out the best way to improve health. We know the factors, but we certainly don't know how to influence those factors. What do we do about housing? How do we improve education? Everybody in the Lehigh Valley has a small piece of the solution, of the answer. And how we get together and figure that work out together, I think, is the critical piece.
Gentlemen, we're at the end of our show. It's been a quick 30 minutes. We have highlighted a lot of areas for us to discuss in future shows. I would also like to remind our listeners that if you would like to have us concentrate on a specific area of community health, drop us a line. You can contact me. My email is greg@wdiy.org. Once again, that's just G-R-E-G, greg@wdiy.org. If you would like to hear us pick up a topic and talk about it. Today, I'd like to thank my co-host Ed and co-host Ron on this edition of Health Beat, and we look forward to bringing you many more informative programs on what we can do to improve everyone's health in the Lehigh Valley. You are listening to Health Beat on WDIY.
Lehigh Valley Public Radio is proud to present Health Beat, a spotlight on healthcare in the Lehigh Valley, produced in conjunction with the Dorothy Rider Pool Healthcare Trust and the Rider Pool Foundation.